FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yes, hello once again. This is the FWA podcast. Every week, William Hill gets one of the best football writers in the business to have a chat with us about the burning issues in the game and look at a few bets coming up at the weekend as well. Delighted to say that this week our special guest is from the Sunday Mirror and it's Dean Jones. Hiya, Dean, you well?
Hi. Yeah, very good. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. It's good to have the Premier League on the horizon, but I must admit the international break has been a little better than usual, not least because of the home nation's performances by and large. Just thought we'd pick your brains on a kind of progress report for England. At half-time in Turin, it wasn't particularly good, but second half was much better, wasn't it?
It was much better, and I think that Roy Hodgson's actually got quite a lot out of this international break. You know, he's tried out different formations and different personnel in different positions, and I think that overall he'll have taken some things away that he knows he will try again and won't try again. I mean, I'm not sure we'll be seeing Phil Jones in that midfield role again, and I'm not sure we'll be seeing Theo Walcott as a central striker again in that setup. But you know, he's seen Harry Kane come in and do well. He's seen Townsend come on and make an impact, and of course Michael Carrick, who's been lauded by Wayne Rooney for the way that he's come in and made an impression over the last two games. So there's a lot to think about for Roy, and I think it's a really nice situation for him. I mean, he's got a little while now to look ahead to the games against Ireland and Slovenia. And I think he can afford to experiment a little bit in those games as well. I mean, we're looking so good now and so comfortable in terms of qualifying for France that he can really try and set his side up for exactly what he wants to achieve at the tournament.
Yeah, William Hill have been betting for quite a while on whether England would go through the entire qualifying process unbeaten. Do you think that's something that A, they can do, and B, that they would be particularly bothered about? I mean, it's a dangerous bet because when you get to the final couple of games, it may be becoming a bit of an experimentation thing for the manager.
That's probably the only danger in terms of those last two games. But to be honest, I think he would be disappointed if they did lose a game now. I think that they're looking that strong and that comfortable, and he's got that many options that they should really be able to beat any team in that group. I mean, the Switzerland game, as everyone's stated before, was the toughest game, the first one that we started off with. And I think, you know, anyone that had that bet would be feeling quite confident about it right now.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Yeah, I suppose that's probably still the hardest game, isn't it? The return game, to be perfectly honest. England, of course, a very, very short price to qualify and win the group. Just a quick word about the other home nations. It's so refreshing, isn't it, Dean, to see, and I don't mean this to sound as patronising as it's probably going to come out, but to see, you know, the likes of Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland and the Republic all with a genuine chance of qualifying. Maybe the Republic are the outsiders in that group, but they have got, you know, a couple of easy games to come. I mean, you know, the results just don't stop, do they? Northern Ireland, great result. The Wales result, fantastic. And with Bale in that side, they should be qualifying from this point, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should be, actually. Yeah, I mean, it's been really impressive. I mean, one of the things I've really enjoyed about this qualifying campaign is the fact we're actually able to watch so many of these games as well because they've spread them out. I know there are people criticising that at the start of it all, but it's made it great because we can really get wrapped up in the games themselves. So we're being able to watch the other home nations and how they're getting on and kind of get behind them. And I mean, Wales, I think they've got to now just push on. I mean, Bale says he's not trying to prove a point, but I think you could see that he had done that in that last win against Israel. Northern Ireland, I thought, looked good as well. And Ireland, you know, they're still in there as well. So if we could have, you know, four teams going to that tournament, it would be fantastic. I can't even imagine what it would be like, especially the fact that it's only in France and so many fans would be looking to travel over there.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be getting the Eurostar any time around next June, would you?
Not on business, no.
Wales are 2-1 on to qualify from that group, by the way. And yeah, you're right about Bale. It was like when you play football with your mates and there's one who's obviously a lot better than everyone else and he just turns it on when he wants to. It was that kind of performance, wasn't it? Group D is the group with Scotland and Republic of Ireland in. Germany are the very short price favourites to win that group. Poland second favourites to qualify from the group. Scotland are 11-10 and the Republic of Ireland are just under 2-1 at 15-8. So it's a live group, that one. And of course Northern Ireland to qualify from the group now 5-1 on, which is an incredible price for a Northern Ireland team who are halfway through the qualifying group. But they've got that 4-point cushion, and there's not a lot in that group, in truth, Dean. You know, they look comfortable in there. And I mean, even Romania is a top. You wouldn't, whoever gets out of that group, you wouldn't expect them to do too well in the European Championships, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, no, but I mean, I think just the fact that they would be there, they'd be so buoyed by the fact, and they know that it could be tough to get there again. I mean, I know obviously the new format of the competition is changing things right now. But Northern Ireland, I mean, the way that they're playing, it's not so much about individuals, it's the team ethic, and I think that's what's helped them into the position that they're in. There's no reason, I don't think, that they'll believe they can't top that group and overcome Romania at the top. And as you say, there's a 4-point cushion now. So as long as they don't get too comfortable, I think they could be OK.
Back to the Premier League this weekend then. All starts off with a great match. Arsenal versus Liverpool. Arsenal are odds on to win this one and put more pressure on Manchester City, actually overtake them by the time they play if they win this. 12-5 the draw and 7-2 the price for Liverpool. Most of these games now are crucial, Dean, which is a fantastic advert for the Premier League in that it's competitive right till the end of the season. Arsenal on this tremendous run, aren't they, at the moment? And they look so confident. Probably the home leg against Monaco is really the only bad performance I can remember in quite a while. This time last year, this fixture last year, Arsenal against Liverpool, they won 2-0, Arsenal, with Cazorla and Ramsey scoring. Can you see something similar this time?
I certainly can, yeah. I think Arsenal, terrific form. I think it's 6 wins in a row now. They're really looking strong. I mean, a few weeks ago, you'd have possibly been fancy, you'd have gone for Liverpool in this one, just because of the way they're playing. You wonder how they'll come back after that United defeat. Obviously, there'll be no Steven Gerrard involved at all. And ultimately, you've got to say, if Arsenal win this game, Liverpool aren't going to make the Champions League. I think that's the way you'd have to look at it. And the repercussions of that, I mean, there's all the talk about Raheem Sterling. You know, he could even end up at Arsenal. This is a game that could decide their fate and ultimately go a long way to deciding his, I would imagine. Arsenal, I think, will really fancy themselves in this game. And if they're going to push on to second or even beyond, there's no reason to believe that it's impossible to win the title, then they have to win this game.
Yeah, William Hill are betting on Raheem Sterling's future, actually. His club after the 2015 summer transfer window. And Liverpool are the odds-on favourites at 8-15, but you've got Manchester City at 6-1, Arsenal at 9-1, Chelsea 12-1, Bayern Munich 14s, PSG 16s, Man United 25-1, Real Madrid the same price, and Juventus 40-1. And loan deals do count, interestingly enough, as well. You can't imagine Liverpool sending him out on loan anywhere, to be honest. Do you think he will move?
I think that's quite good value in some of those bits.
Yeah,
especially the Arsenal
look quite big,
one.
Don't they?
Yeah, they do look quite big, especially when you look at the reaction to the interview that he's given. I mean, obviously as a journalist, we love it when players come out and speak like this openly, but I just can't help thinking he'd have been better off at this stage of the season, just staying quiet, letting the negotiations deal with themselves as and when, and just concentrating on getting Liverpool through the rest of the season. I just think that he's opened a can of worms, especially with this fixture coming up, you know, the team that are being reported to really fancy their chances of signing him. So I think that there is a good high chance, as it stands, of Raheem Sterling leaving Liverpool. Yeah?
Interesting. The other TV games this weekend are on Saturday evening, and 2 on Sunday and 1 on Monday. Chelsea versus Stoke is a Saturday evening kickoff. Stoke really kind of an easy street a little bit at the moment, aren't they? 10th, they'll be looking to get up to, up to 8th. That's probably as high as they can go, with a big 10-point gap between Swansea and Tottenham at the moment. But this is the kind of game that you'd imagine Chelsea would just be very professional and do the business in, wouldn't you, Dean?
You'd think so, yeah. But, I mean, they have struggled a little bit recently, Chelsea. Their games have been very tight, and Stoke are the kind of team that Chelsea hate playing against at the moment. I mean, if you look over the last 10 games, Chelsea have not really steamrolled anyone. Probably their easiest game was the League Cup final. That was the only game I'd say they were really convincing and never really looked in danger. So I think this will still be tight, despite the fact Stoke haven't got an awful lot to fight for at this stage of the season. I saw some comments from Eden Hazard talking about perhaps whether he was tiring, starting to feel, the pressure and everything that's gone on this season. So you just wonder, can Stoke go there and really make them fight for the points? I do think Chelsea will edge it, but I don't think it will be. I don't think they'll overrun them.
The Sunday games start off with Burnley versus Tottenham. Pretty crucial game for Burnley. You wonder if Tottenham realistically think they can get in Europa League place, and do they want to? I suppose it's the other question.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not. I wouldn't if I was them.
Can Burnley get a much needed win here? Do you think that they need it? That they're in the bottom three again, and you get the sense if they were to lose this one, it would look like they might start to get cut adrift soon.
Yeah, I mean, certainly a chance. I just feel that Tottenham aren't done yet. I think they're trying to finish the season strongly. I think Pochettino's really motivated to show the way that he's shaping this side. And obviously with their English lads that were all on the field the other night to make the difference, they'll want to carry on the momentum from that as well. It is a massive game for Burnley, and I agree with you in the fact that if they don't get something out of this game, I start to believe that the bottom three is going to stay exactly as it is right now.
Big North-East derby on Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, Sunderland versus Newcastle. More on it for Sunderland than there is for Newcastle, and they've got a tremendous record against their big rivals recently. I think they've won the last four, Sunderland, and I don't think they've conceded a goal against them in the last two games at St James's Park. This one's at the Stadium of Light, and if ever they need that run to continue, it's now, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And I mean, I think he'd have to fancy them. I think that Dick Advocaat wants to get a win on the board. I think that he's full of belief that he'll get them away from those relegation positions and led to safety. I think that, as you say, they've got a great record in this fixture. And I just fancy them in this game. I just think the whole occasion and everything is just swaying towards them having more reason to win it. But again, I think it'll be tight. But yeah, I'm going for a Sunderland win there.
The Monday night game sees the champions in action against Crystal Palace. And it's at Crystal Palace as well. Man City are 8-11, which a lot of people will look to gobble up. 11-5, the draw, and Palace 5-1. Palace missing a few players. The captain's banned, of course, Jednak. Looks like Ledley's touch and go whether he'll play. I think Jordan Mutch is out. So the midfield is a little bit weak. And the home form hasn't been good as their away form, actually, Palace, since the new manager took over. Quite simply, Dean, Man City must start winning games now. They have to put a run together here, don't they?
They do, yeah. Do you know what? I think this game could prove very interesting. I mean, obviously, depending on the way results have gone before Monday night, Arsenal could be in second spot. And I just think Palace will be really up for this one and really fancy just upsetting things a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I don't think a draw is the worst bet in the world for a game like this one. Man City, once you start to test them mentally, they can be a little bit fragile. And I just wonder if Palace can really kind of get stuck in and try to set the pace of the game. That this could be a bit tougher than people are imagining.
They've certainly shown quite a lot of weakness really recently, especially with that 1-0 defeat at Burnley. I mean, it's people will be maybe shying away from backing Man City at odds on. The other games, just to quickly run through, just to complete the list. 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday, Everton, Southampton, Leicester, West Ham, West Brom, QPR, Manchester United, Aston Villa, Swansea, Hull. Is there one bet that you would look at, Dean, this weekend, or one result that you think is likely to happen if you were to have a best bet of the weekend?
I do fancy Arsenal strongly to beat Liverpool, and I think you could double that up with Giroud to score. I think you'd be looking at a decent chance of that happening. I mean, he seems to be their main goal threat at the moment. I think he's level on goals with Alexis Sanchez and fancies himself finishing above him. And I just, as I said before, I fancy Arsenal to win, possibly, 2-0 or 2-1. But yeah, I'd say an Arsenal win with Giroud to score would be a decent bet.
Yeah, 5-2, that is. William Hill do headline offers, and they usually pair a goal scorer up with a result. So it's Olivier Giroud to score and Arsenal to win at 5-2. Not bad at all.
Nice one. Yeah, not bad at all. That's a decent value.
Dean, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to follow Dean on Twitter, it's DJonesSMirror. Dean, of course, is the football correspondent for the Sunday Mirror. Pleasure speaking to you today, Dean. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Premier League action.
Thank you. Enjoy it. Good to have it back.
Thanks, Dean. We'll be back next week with more of the same. In the meantime, if you want to subscribe to this podcast, you can go to the iTunes Music Store and search William Hill Podcast. It's available on audioboom.com, williamhill.com/podcasts, and on the FWA website itself. It's footballwriters.co.uk. Thanks for listening. And if you're having a bet on anything we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.